The following message is from Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas, and From His Heart Ministries.
If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're in a series entitled The Things You Need to Know. And tonight we have a question: are you growing in your walk with Jesus? It was April of 1988 when I got a new job. I had been working for the past 2 years at Waste Management as an outside salesman, and it was a good job. It was a fun job. It was meeting with lots of people, but the pay was not as good as I needed it to be, and so we had just had our first child, and so I had been praying, Debbie had been praying that the Lord would open up a new door, and He did. And I got a job with Nalco Chemical Company, and I was all excited, and it was a big deal to work there, and they interview process, had to fly to Naperville, Illinois, and go to the corporate office and interview, and it was a nerve-wracking thing, as you can imagine, but I got the job, and it was supposed to be in Dallas, and we were going to have to move, and Debbie's mother prayed that we wouldn't move away from the Houston area since we just had her first grandchild, and so sure enough, they had an opening in Sugar Land area, so I got to stay, and we didn't have to move, and I started that job, and that job was hard. And you know, when you start a new job, you always have to learn new things, and especially in a different industry, and sales is sales, but you have to learn how to sell that particular product. And that job had a very long curve, learning curve. And I had to work every day, get to the office. It was about an hour away where I lived versus the office, and then I would ride around with the salesman and just watch and observe, and then I'd go home at night and I'd have all these lessons to do to learn about cooling towers and boilers and heat exchangers and corrosion inhibitors and scale inhibitors and biocides and all this stuff that I didn't know anything about that stuff. And so I was my head felt like it was a fishbowl that was right up to the top. And if you asked me a question other than what is your name, I was not going to be able to figure it out, because it was just like, I have all this stuff just kind of swimming around in here, and I'm not sure about any of it, because all of it is new. And you know, Nalco knew that. They knew that, hey, when you start out, you're not going to know anything, and it's all going to be new, and you're going to be in this idiot phase for a good while, and that's okay, because you're just starting out. And it was okay not to know anything. It was not okay to work there for 6 months, 12 months, and still be a guy that didn't know anything. They expected you to grow in the job. And after I had been there for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I became very comfortable and very conversant in those kinds of applications and in problem solving and that kind of thing. Well, that's true in any job. You kind of start out, you don't know things, and after time and after effort, you start to become a more mature and seasoned person in that job. So when it comes to the Christian life, I want to ask you this. How are you doing? Are you growing in the Christian life? Are you further down the road this year than you were last year in this thing called Christ likeness? Can people see a difference in you? You know, I was listening to a sermon one day, and the question was, or the thought came in this message was, you know, you can't really see a difference physically in your appearance from day to day, but you can from year to year. How many have had the horrifying experience of seeing a picture of you from 5 years ago and think, what, I look at myself now, what? Where did that guy go? Because 5 years ago he looked good, and now he looks like this. We don't notice day-to-day changes, but we notice things year to year or 5 years or 10 years. Wow, I've changed a lot. So in your Christian life, from year to year, from today versus 5 years ago or 10 years ago, how far down the road in Christian maturity are you? Now, John writes to assure his readers about their salvation. "These things I've written to you, believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life," he says in chapter 5. But in chapter 2, he's already talked about, hey, here's the thing. If you say you know him and you don't obey him and you don't walk in his ways, you don't walk as Jesus walked, it's not true in your life, then you're a liar. You don't really know him. And if you say that you know him, but you hate your brother and you're not walking in love, then, hey, you got to check to see if you're really saved at all. And then he goes in chapter 2 and he starts to give assurance. So that not everybody that reads it thinks, well, I don't know if I'm a Christian. I thought I was a Christian when I started the letter, but now I'm not so sure if I'm a Christian. He wants you to know, if you've truly been saved, that you belong to him. And he wants to zero in on, so where are you in your spiritual journey? Verse 12 of chapter 2, he says this, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." And then he repeats himself in a different tense. "I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one." He gives us three stages of spiritual growth in that passage of Scripture. So two truths I want to share with you tonight in your spiritual journey. Where are you in your spiritual journey? The first truth is this. Every true Christian has experienced a second birth. You know, we talk about the Christian life as a walk. That's how John describes it. It's a walk with Jesus. So where are you on the walk? Now, some people come to church and they think they're on a walk with Jesus, but they don't really know him because they've never been born again. They're just religious folks. They might be good people. They might not have a lot of outward sins in their lives. They might be really good neighbors. But have they ever come to know Christ? That's the issue. John chapter 3, you know, obviously John wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. In the Gospel of John, he talks about Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, who was part of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. Nicodemus, who represents the very best of men. And he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a prophet come from God, because no one can do the things that you do, the signs that you do, unless God is with them." And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. I don't care how many degrees you have after your name. I don't care how high up you sit on the Jewish Sanhedrin. You must be born again. Now, every true Christian has experienced that second birth. And he says, look again in verse 12, "I am writing to you, little children." The word for little children is a Greek word, technion, and it means little children, little darlings, Christian converts. That's the emphasis, and it refers to every single child of God. So I don't care where you are on the journey with the Lord. It's the Apostle Paul to the brand new believer. It's everybody is called a little darling of God. And John is old when he writes this. And so John, as an older man, he would say to the Christians, he would call them little children. Little children love one another, he would say. And so he says, "Little children, I'm writing to you because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." There's some things that we know about those who have been born again. First of all, they have been forgiven of their sins. A true Christian has been forgiven for his sins. "Little children, I'm writing to you because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." You know, and the scripture talks in Colossians chapter 1, speaks of Jesus, "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." That is redemption, to be forgiven of all your sins. You think of the worst thing that you've ever done in your life. The Lord says the moment that you receive Jesus as Savior and King and Lord, he's forgiven you. He said to the thief on the cross, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Hey, that guy had done some really bad things. But when he turned to the Lord, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," he was forgiven. So a true Christian has been forgiven for his sins. Now that's the penalty of sin. It's as if God as judge wraps his gavel and says, "Not guilty." There is therefore, Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death." That doesn't mean you still don't struggle with sin, because you struggle with sin and I struggle with sin. That doesn't mean 1 John 1:9 doesn't apply to us. It does. And so I still have to deal with sin, and when I sin, I still have to come to the Lord and confess my sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's a forgiveness of fellowship. It's not a forgiveness of sonship. And the moment that I trust Christ as Savior and Lord, my sins are forgiven and they're not counted against me anymore. And I am placed in Christ. And when God sees me, he sees me in Christ, and Christ is perfect. So a true Christian has been forgiven for his sins. Secondly, a true Christian has been adopted into God's family. So when we receive Christ, we're forgiven and we're placed in the family of God. When I was in college, we used to sing a song every time we would greet the visitors, you know, and in many churches, you have a time where you greet the visitors. You know, Scott did that for us tonight, to, you know, go by and greet people. Well, at the church I went to, at Allendale Baptist Church, they would always play the same song when you greeted the visitors, and they would play this song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." And so it just got ingrained that, you know, hey, if you're going to greet the visitors, that's what you play. And so it's taken me a while to realize we don't always play that one, because you can do other things. You don't have to just do that. But that's a good little song. "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God." Something like that. I'm not sure how the rest of it goes. But anyway, that happens the moment that you're born again. You're forgiven of your sins. You're adopted into God's family. And God becomes your father. We have people today, they love to say, "Well, you know, all of us are children of God." That's not true. Jesus said to the Jewish leaders who were arguing with him, he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." Well, that's not a child of God if Jesus says you're a child of the devil. Says in Ephesians chapter 2 that, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you were children of wrath, even as the rest." Not a child of God, but as many as received him, John chapter 1, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So a true Christian, been forgiven, and has been adopted into the family, and God becomes his father. And we're going to see that a little further in just a minute. And then thirdly, a true Christian has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. He is none of his." And so that's a true Christian. And that's a little, as he refers here, little children. "Your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, little children, because you've been born again, you're a child of God, you've been adopted into the family of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and that's true for anyone who's a true believer, and it's not true for anyone who's not a true believer. Their sins aren't forgiven, they have not been adopted into the family, and they're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So it's very obvious the difference between a religious person and a true believer. The Jews who crucified Jesus were religious to the max, but they weren't true believers. So every true Christian has experienced a second birth. And then second truth, every true Christian is commanded to grow. So how do I get in on the Christian life? I have to trust Christ as Savior and Lord, turn from my sin, repent of my sin, receive Christ as Savior and Lord, and then I'm born again, and I pass out of death into life, and I've taken from the broad road that leads to destruction, and I'm put on the narrow road that leads to life. But hey, the moment that you get saved, you're on the starting place of the narrow road that leads to life. And that's a journey. That's a walk with the Lord. And so I begin. And how do I begin? The Bible says you must be born again. So as Jesus related spiritual birth to physical birth, you're born into this world and you're born a little baby. And the little babies are wonderful and sweet and exciting. And there's one place in the hospital that's a fun place, and that's labor and delivery. All the other places, not so great. But labor and delivery is where there's excitement and parties and things like that, because that's a fun place. New life has come. And so you bring home that little baby, and that little baby has to grow. That's the goal for that little one, is that they grow. And the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are supposed to grow. So he says in this passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 2, he says, I am, starting in verse 13, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So he gives us three stages of Christian growth, of growth in our walk with the Lord. The first stage is the baby stage. That's, I'm delivered from the broad road. Now I'm on the narrow road that leads to life. It goes in a different direction. Goes right up through the gut of the broad road. There's pressure to want to push us back. But now I'm on the narrow road that leads to life. But I'm at the starting point of the narrow road, and I'm a brand new baby in Christ. So the baby stage is what he's talking about in verse 13. I have written to you, children. That's a different Greek word than what was used in verse 12. When he says little children, little darlings, that's technion. And when he talks about children, that's paedion. Paedion, that word means an infant. It doesn't mean a darling one. It means an infant. It means a child, a young child, a little one. And a little one needs to grow. But he says of the little ones, the infants, he says, I have written to you, children, little ones, infants, because you know the Father. And see, the baby stage is the beginning relational stage. It's the stage where you know the Father. You have come to know him. And your heart cry out with the Holy Spirit, Abba, Father, Daddy. And just like a little child learns very quickly, learns how to say mama, learns how to say daddy or dada. That's what Abba means, daddy. Jesus said that when he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abba, Father, Daddy, cried out to his father. It's so intimate, and it's what a little child calls his father, Daddy, Abba. And so the baby stage is the beginning stage, and it's very relational. Just think of a little baby. A little baby doesn't know much. A little child, a little young one, doesn't know a whole lot. But they know that that's my dad. That's my mom. And they love me, and I just naturally love them back. And it's a very relational stage. And so it is with the baby. And the thing about a baby in the beginning stage, that baby needs lots of care. That baby needs feeding. That baby needs protection. And so this stage, you have a need for care, for feeding, and for protection. Somebody's got to do a lot for you. So when you start out, I'm born again, I leave the broad road, I go on the narrow road, and I'm starting out, and I don't know anything. I'm day one at Nalco. I don't tell me how to what I should tell this customer for his scaling problem in his chiller. I don't have any idea. I'm just around, here for the ride because I don't know anything yet. And that's the baby stage. You don't know anything. You think about how you started out in the Christian life. Now, for some of you, you grew up in church. And so even before you became a Christian, you had learned a lot of things. My granddaughter got an award just last Sunday because she could name all 66 books of the Bible. I was like, that's pretty cool. Hey, I've been preaching for over 20 years. I can't name all 66 books of the Bible by memory. Now, I probably know a lot more about the 66 books of the Bible than Emmy does, but she can name all those. Well, I didn't ever learn that stuff. So when I became a Christian, man, I was green. I didn't know anything much to speak of other than Jesus died for me and he rose again and I put my faith and trust in him and God is now real to me. He's my Father. So I needed lots of care. I needed someone to feed me, to teach me how to grow. And there was a guy in my life that came and helped me and said, I'm going to help you start to learn and start to grow and start to study and to understand what the Bible says and what the Bible means. And that's what a little baby needs. And a little baby needs protection. You know, you have to watch little babies because they'll put all sorts of things in their mouth. I mean, it's just what, if it's down there, that's going in there. They pick it up and they want to put it in their mouth. It's like, well, that's a dead spider. Yeah, tastes good. I'll try it. You know, I mean, it's just whatever. A cotton ball, a stick beads up their nose. You know, it's just little kids will do stuff like that. The young ones, they don't know any different. So spiritually speaking, you have to protect the young Christians, the little ones in the Christian faith, because they're very susceptible to wolves. They're very susceptible to false teachers. As one preacher said, in cults today, what do cults do? They go after unbelievers and baby Christians, because baby Christians aren't able to discern, hey, this is not right. Now, the other stages that we're going to talk about, they're able to discern that, but babies are not able to discern that. Just like little babies need protection from mom and dad, well, baby Christians need protection from older Christians to tell them, no, you don't want to go there, you don't want to do this, you don't want to ingest false doctrine. So that is critical, the care, the feeding, and the protection. But then he moves from the baby stage, and he moves to the maturing stage. He says in verse 13, I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then in verse 14, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is somebody that's starting to grow. So it's not just starting out anymore. I've been walking with the Lord a little bit. I've been learning some things. I'm like a teenager, not a little kid anymore. I'm not in diapers anymore spiritually. Now I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm getting stronger, and I'm not susceptible like I was to the lies of the devil. I can recognize when a cultist comes to my door and tries to tell me that Jesus isn't God. I know that's not true. That's not right. When some cultist comes to my door and says, well, I just want to tell you there is no hell. Well, I know that's not right. That's not true because I have been studying the Word and I know what the Word says. So the maturing stage is a learning, overcoming stage. You have overcome the evil one. And this is a good stage. This is an exciting stage of growth. You know, you think about high school kids. Middle schoolers and high schoolers. Debbie loves that age, high school, because everything is exciting, everything is fun, everything is, they're just all in, they're ready to go. You know, I have a friend of mine, he says, I think high school kids are vampires. You know, they can stay up all night and sleep all day. That's just kind of how they operate. As you get older, have you noticed? It's like, I tell Debbie sometimes, like, man, what time is it? We need to go to bed. She says, it's 8. I was like, yeah, it feels later, but, you know, I just can't stay up very late the older I get. But at the maturing stage, man, you're ready to conquer. And so for me, I go to college. I'm still kind of in this baby stage because I didn't get saved till toward the end of my senior year in high school. So I go to college, and God connects me with some godly guys who are helping me grow, guys that were further along, further down the road in the Christian life. So they start teaching me how to have a quiet time. They start teaching me, this is how you witness to people. This is how you read the Bible and understand the Bible. This is how you teach the Bible. This is how you share your testimony. And so I began to learn all that stuff. And at first, I wasn't very good at it. I didn't really know how to do it. I remember going out with my friend Everett, and we went witnessing just on the street. And he said, he goes, all right, now you watch me. I'm going to talk to this guy about the Lord. And he did. He was so natural in how he did it and just quoted scripture. I didn't know any scripture to quote any scripture. And he would just quote these things. And I thought, man, that is the coolest thing. And I was just watching. I was just soaking it all in. He goes, now you do the next one. I'm like, I don't do the next one. Why don't you do this one and call me next year, and I'll do the next one next year. You know, I mean, I wasn't ready to do that, but he just kind of pushed me out of the nest. You're going to watch me do it, and then you're going to do it. And so then I would do it and didn't do very well. My heart's beating like that, and you're just nervous. But here's what you need in that maturing stage. You need opportunities. You need training. And you need the word of God. Because it says in verse 14 to the young men, because you're strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, in any of these stages, the word of God is critical. In any of these stages, prayer is critical. But in the maturing stage, you're starting to understand the scripture better. You're starting to spend more time in the scripture. You're starting to memorize it, and it's starting to get into you. And it's not just milk like a newborn baby. You're starting to eat meat, and you're starting to be able to digest things and understand things. In my life, I would listen to sermons. I'm kind of wired that way, and so I have a capacity for sermons. So today, when I work out, I'll listen to sermons. You know, a lot of people listen to music. I'm always listening to sermons because it's a good way to, you know, while I'm doing something else, I'm hearing and I'm learning, and I'm an auditory learner, and so that helps me a lot. But I would spend time in the Word, and I would spend time memorizing Scripture. I memorized so much Scripture in college because I was in that growing, maturing stage, and my brain was sharp to memorize, as we've talked before in here. And everyone who is of age knows that when you're young, that's when you can memorize. As you get older, harder to memorize. Anybody amen on any of that? I mean, it's difficult. Some of you have commented, you know, Pastor Jeff, you know a lot of scripture. Yeah, because I learned it in college. In that maturing stage. If I try and memorize scripture today, I can do it, but it's a lot harder than it was when I was 20 years old. And so I always encourage students, hey, memorize scripture now when your brain is really good and flexible and it like, you know, like flypaper. Because pretty soon, as you get older, your brain's like a post-it note that you've just stuck too many times, and it just keeps, this stuff falls out. So the maturing stage is a learning, overcoming stage. And then lastly, he mentions the mature stage. And that's an established Christ-like stage. That's a walk with the Lord that is deep. He says in verse 13, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. And then he says in verse 14, I've written to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. Now, when he says to the little children, because you know the Father, he's obviously talking about the Father. God is now your Father. And you cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. But now he's talking to the mature. This is the person that's down the road of the narrow road. Now, you never arrive in the Christian life until you get to heaven, because the Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey. It's a walk with God. And so if you live to be 110, you don't ever say, well, you know, I arrived. There's no more growth. There's no more road. The narrow road is over for me. No, you always have room to grow, and there's always a road to walk with the Lord. Enoch walked with God, and the scripture says he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. People in the Old Testament lived a long time before the flood. So 300 years he walked with God, and one day he's on the road walking with God, and God just took him to heaven. He was a picture of the rapture of the church. He was the first one to ever go to heaven. He never died. Enoch and Elijah, the only two men who never died because God just took him. So in the Christian life, when you get to the mature stage, that means you've been walking with the Lord for a good while, and you know him who is from the beginning. Now, when he talks about him who is from the beginning, he's talking about Jesus. In the beginning, he says in the gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He speaks of Jesus being in the beginning. And this is the person, this mature person in the Lord. He has a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. He knows him deeply. Gnosko is the Greek word. You know him who has been from the beginning, an established Christ-like stage. We have people in our church who are in the mature stage, not just age-wise, physical age, but spiritually. Now, there are lots of people that are old physically, but they're still in the baby stage, because spiritually, they haven't grown up. They're still in diapers. They still whine and gripe and cry about things. They still want, feed me, feed me, feed me. They're still very susceptible to false doctrine. They've never grown. But then you have some others that are in the maturing stage, and then some others that are in the mature stage, and they've really deepened their relationship with Jesus. I've talked to you before about Johnny Erickson Tata. She's a very mature believer, and she's learned through suffering how to trust the Lord. Suffering is not something we like, but it's something that deepens us. And so the mature one really knows the Lord. And here's what the mature one needs to watch out for, is you hit a point where you start to coast. You start to get stale. You've read the Bible through over and over and over, and you say, yeah, I kind of know that, and you start missing quiet times because, yeah, I'm not really learning anything new, and you begin to kind of coast home. You don't ever want to do that. You want to continue to press in. You want to continue to grow. So this stage needs to keep growing in love with Jesus. As the song says, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You know, Paul had that desire. He was a mature believer. He spent a lot of time with Jesus. He didn't start out as a mature believer, but he went away for 3 years, and he was in seminary just with the Lord. He said, I didn't consult with the apostles. I went by myself into Arabia, and I was there, and the Lord himself taught Paul, and he began to grow, and he went from a baby to a maturing Christian to a mature Christian. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, he said that he counts all things to be loss. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, that I may know him. Well, Paul, don't you already know him? Yeah, and I want to grow in my knowledge of him. in my understanding of him, in my depth in our relationship, so I don't get stale, so I continue to dig in. You know, the Lord is like a bottomless sea. We can just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper with the Lord. And I personally believe, even in heaven, I think there are going to be things that we learn for all eternity about God that will be new and fresh and wow. I mean, we're going to know him, but he's the infinite God. So can you ever really, can you know everything about an infinite being? I think even in heaven, we're going to be learning new things about God that will just continue to blow us away. So in this mature stage, that we would continue to grow. When I went to the Family Life Speakers Retreat, Debbie and I went in January. Crawford Loritz gave a talk. He was talking about a particular preacher who was a very godly man and was toward the end of his ministry, up in his 80s. He said he was asked by a younger preacher. He said to this older man who's very mature in the Lord, he said, "Is there anything you're afraid of?" And he said, "Yes." And the young man said, "What is that?" He said, "I'm afraid of drowning in shallow water." And he said, "What does that mean?" He said, "I'm afraid that I have lived this Christian life and done these things for the Lord and walked with him and been faithful, and now I'm at the very end and I can see the end in sight. I'm afraid that I would do something stupid at the very end that would cause me to drown in shallow water, so to speak, to trip before the finish line and to not be able to finish strong." The challenge for all of us as we grow in the Lord is that we grow all the way to the end, that we don't ever quit, that we don't ever coast, that we say with Paul, "I want to know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings, and Lord, help me to stay green and growing and fresh, and that I would continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness." The man that discipled me in college, that was a continual prayer of his. "Lord, keep me green, keep me growing, keep me fresh, so that I would never get stale." Hey, I want to ask you as we close tonight, where are you right now on your spiritual journey? You know, maybe you're here and you know what? Here's the honest truth. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction because you've never been born again. You don't have to stay on the broad road. You can trust Christ tonight. Turn from sin, turn to the Savior, and you can be born again. That happened for Nicodemus. Studied all that he had studied. He knew, they would memorize the first five books of the Old Testament, those Pharisees. He knew so much, but he didn't know God until he turned his life to Christ, and then he was born again. And then he started as an infant, as we all do in this Christian life, and he had to grow. Where are you? Maybe you're on the broad road. Maybe you're a baby in Christ. Maybe you don't like to think of yourself as a baby in Christ because you're 70 years old. You're like, I don't like that. Hey, everybody has to start off as a baby in the Christian life. And it's okay to be a baby in the Christian life. You just don't want to stay there. And so if you're here as an infant, you say, I'm like in first grade, and I'm still so young in the Lord. I don't know very much. Well, be honest enough to tell God, "God, this is where I am, and I want to grow." You know, if you're in the maturing stage and you're learning and growing, that's great. And keep stepping out in opportunities to do things, because that will help you all the more to grow. And if you're mature and you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, don't quit seeking him. And use your life. You're down the road of the narrow road. Use your life to find somebody that's just starting out and come alongside them to help them grow. You have wisdom that they don't have. You can help them so much. Where are you tonight? And what do you need that will help you grow?
You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, and From His Heart Ministries. For a complete listing of Pastor Jeff's messages, check out our website at fromhisheart.org.